to Genesis chapter 4. I'm taking a break from the messages on the comfort of the Scriptures. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Before I get started, I gave you a track, a pro-life RN story written by Mike McCartney, who is a registered nurse. He's retired now. I've known him for years. He's a member of Landmark Missionary Baptist Church out in California. It's an excellent, thought-provoking track. I may quote from it today, but I wanted everybody to have that. But I want to look here in Genesis chapter 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. I believe Adam and Eve are literal people, that God created Adam and Eve. And she conceived. And I believe that when she conceived, there was life. The moment that the seed and the egg united, I believe there's life. And bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I want to preach this morning a message entitled, The Genesis of All Murder. I've often referred to the account of Cain and Abel. I believe that both were literal sons who were literally born from the union of Adam and Eve. Even though they came from the same parents, and they were both born with sinful natures, they both had completely different religious views, and subsequently, world views. Cain rejected God's way of salvation. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis. By the way, Genesis is the book of beginnings. This records the first murder. But it's also the first time that work salvation is rebuked by God. Really, you boil all religions down to two simple ones. Salvation by grace through faith alone, or the teaching of salvation by the works of man. All religion can be divided in those two simple categories. The salvation by grace, as it's set forth in the Scripture, is by far in a much greater minority. There are much fewer people who believe that salvation is all of grace. Most religions believe you get to God through your works. The genuine Christian religion is the only one where the founder said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Implying that there is no other way to God. It is only through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The principle goes all the way back to Genesis. But Cain mistakenly thought that God would receive him based on his own works, on his own merit, on his own religious performances. And this forms the genesis of all work salvation, a theology that is completely rejected by God. You can't state this any clearer. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3:5 says, "Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, Abel, on the other hand, believed the teachings that Adam and Eve had taught their children, that the way to God was through an acceptable sacrifice. The principle of a vicarious substitute was established here and has never been nullified. In fact, I would contend that every sacrifice in the Old Testament performed by the Jews in their worship all typified the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is the only religion where God Himself is the Lamb of God in the person of Jesus Christ. All of those sacrifices pointed to the ultimate Lamb of God, Jesus. In fact, when John the Baptist saw Him for the first time, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Which was a revolutionary concept to the Jewish mind, because at that time they thought they were the only ones that God was dealing with. But God's going to deal with people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue through the finished work of Jesus Christ. People are going to be saved everywhere by believing in Jesus Christ. Cain became angry and bitter at God, and he took his hostility and hatred out on his brother Abel. Now Abel, as far as we know, had done nothing to Cain to warrant such hatred. Cain, however, thought it was his right to kill someone who did not share his religious views and perhaps his worldview. Cain committed murder and felt fully justified in doing so. And I think it needs to be noted that the proponents of work salvation have always persecuted those who believe in grace salvation. Always been that way. They feel justified in killing those who oppose their religious beliefs. And this would also apply and is true of atheists. Whether atheists admit it or not, their God is either themselves or, with communists, the state is their God. And they feel fully justified in enforcing what they believe by taking a person's life. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should expect persecution. The Bible says, "Yea, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." America is one of the few places in the world where there has been a freedom of religion. But it says this in John 16. Jesus told the disciples this. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh," listen, "that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Cain thought he was right. He thought Abel was wrong. I don't know how many times this went before God rebuked him. I don't know if Abel said, "Cain, listen, there's a reason why he received my offering. Take heed to this." I don't know if any of that occurred. But in his depraved mind, he thought it was his right to kill Abel. Cain ultimately died in his sins, and I believe he's in hell, awaiting the resurrection of the unjust dead to stand before the great white throne of judgment, where his place will be determined in the lake of fire. Sadly, after the first murder, things began to unravel pretty quickly among mankind. Violence, corruption, hatred, greed, throwing off any accountability to God. So much so, it says in Genesis 6 and verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Just as I believe that Cain and Abel were literal individuals, I believe that God literally judged the earth with a worldwide flood. Which was God's act of climate change. In fact, it is the most significant act of climate change ever recorded. Because of the cataclysmic events that occurred, there was rapid fossilization and preservation of things that died in that flood. That's why we have fossils. Only 8 souls were spared. Those who went on the ark as God instructed. You say, "Now, do you believe that Noah built an ark?" Absolutely I do. Because I don't take Harvard's philosophy as my rule of faith. I take the word of the living God. And where they are contrary to what God's Word says, I'm going to take God's Word. Because I believe it's inspired. God's command to Noah and his sons after the flood is really very significant. This command had a provision. First of all, a command to be fruitful and multiply, and also a provision for capital punishment for those who took innocent blood. It's in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon the fishes of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. Man has dominion over the animal kingdom. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Thank the Lord. Because I like eating stuff. The Lord bless that. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you being fruitful, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. The teaching is that of procreation and multiplicity. And thank God they obeyed it. In fact, you're a direct result of this command. Later, God would forever enshrine the sanctity of life in the moral law, which is the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Now today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. I am pro-life because I believe it lines up with the teaching of the Word of God. And God's Word is the final authority for all faith and for all practice. So regardless what a preacher, a politician, a government, or a Supreme Court may state, I bow to the authority of the Holy Scriptures. It struck me as I've thought about what's transpired in the year 2020. Nearly every day in 2020, there were reports on the coronavirus that had started in Wuhan, China, and was quickly spread to other parts of the world. In an ironic twist, the Chinese Communist Party shut down all flights out of Wuhan to other parts of China. But they did not shut down flights to Europe, Africa, Australia, North and South America. In 2020 and up till the present, and there's a rolling count, it's reported that, and I may be wrong about this, upwards of 2 million people have died, not of coronavirus, but with coronavirus. I think there's something needs to be said about that, because I think a lot of people that have died already had underlying conditions. And if they would have got the flu, they would have died. If they, especially if you're over 80 and you got problems already, it's proven statistically. But in America, last count, over 380,000 people have died with complications of the virus. Now here's what troubles me about that. In all of 2020, I don't watch the news. Sometimes I'll listen to the radio and they'll have a top of the hour report. And in West Virginia, they tell you every day how many people have died from coronavirus on the radio station. I never heard one news report on how many children had died at the hands of abortion doctors. Yet the ACLJ, American Center of Liberty and Justice, in a new report, stated that nearly 42% of all deaths worldwide were from abortion. More than 42 million people, which comes out roughly to 115,068 worldwide per day. Now, a lot of those are, I looked up the countries that are most prolific in abortion. And it shouldn't surprise you that communist countries like China. In China, you don't have any freedom to have more than one child. From then on, those children are aborted, killed. Soviet Russia. I don't believe Russia has ever fully separated from their communism. Unfortunately, the United States is also a leader. Since 1973, more than 61.6 million children have died in the U.S. alone. That's an average of 1,310,638 per year, an average of 3,591 per day. Yet there is no daily news report on the number of children whose lives were lost to the abortion scalpel or to the suction device. What is even more heinous is we have witnessed states like New York pass laws that permit abortion to the very day of birth and even after the birth of the baby if that child survives the abortion attempt. This is America. People wonder why there's so much hatred and violence and cruelty and division. God's not going to bless a nation that sanctions the killing of children. I've heard politicians scream over children of illegals who were separated from their parents. I thought many times those parents actually send them here for a better life. That's one of the reasons why they're separated from them. But the very same, I thought, at least those children are still alive. They have an opportunity. In fact, if they make it to America, this is the place of the greatest opportunity in the world. But But those very same politicians scream about the necessity of allowing a woman to exterminate and kill her child up to birth, and even after birth in some states. You see, death is real separation. Now, where does murder begin? What is its root? And I'm going to tell you that everybody here today is guilty of it. Wait a minute, I've never killed anybody. Where does murder begin? In the thoughts of the mind. And in the depraved heart of man. Cain committed murder in his heart and mind before the physical act actually occurred. Jesus said as much. Turn over to Matthew 15, and he warned against it. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart, out of your inward being, your affections, your desires, the real you, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Who wants to raise their hand and say that they've never had an evil thought? Is anybody that self-righteous? If you are, God help you. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Where does murder start? Killing start? In the heart, in the mind. And all men are guilty of it to some degree. Jesus exposed this even further in Matthew chapter 5. I know I make you feel uncomfortable when I'm really honest. I've been alive for 61 years. I've got mad at people in my mind enough to where I thought I'd like to kill them. Now, I have never done that, so rest at ease. I've never done that. God restrains wrath. But Jesus talked about that in Matthew 5 and verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Tell you what, you get to the depth and the breadth of the commands of God, and it really shows you how guilty you are. How guilty I am. This is something that people are not dealing with whatsoever in our culture today, in our world today. Nobody thinks they're a sinner. And they justify their sins. We've been justifying the sin of abortion since 1973. It starts in the heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What man can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. A And I tell you what, when you cast off God, His Word, His law, your society becomes reprobate and void of judgment. It's not hard to see how our country has devolved. When people began to question the authority of the Word of God, embracing evolution in the early 1900s, teaching it in the schools, all it took by 1960 was one woman, an atheist, to get the Bible and prayer completely taken out of the school systems. And it was only 13 years later that it became codified by 9 men and women at the Supreme Court that a woman could kill the child in her womb. Now, they don't call it that. They call it pro-choice. And I think to myself, what kind of choice is that? Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All the politicians that are supposedly swear on the Bible, they don't even believe the first verse. They don't even believe God created the heavens and the earth, that He's our Creator. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is where we're at. It starts in the heart and in the mind. And I don't blame this entirely, although I believe they're responsible, on the women who actually seek to get an abortion. The idea of abortion has been popularized, promoted. There are women now that are actually shouting their abortion. One lady had a shirt made up, said, I've I've had 24 abortions and I love it. This is a reprobate society. It starts in the mind and the heart. Consider all the thought that was put into codifying the 1973 Supreme Court case of Roe versus Wade. Think about all the thought that went into that. All the premeditation. All of the legal documentation. All of the arguments that had to be formulated to justify the killing of innocents. And whoever came up with the phrase, a woman's right to choose, is going to have a hot place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Right to choose what? The clinical term is that she is free to have access to a medical procedure that ends an unwanted pregnancy. But it means that she has the right to kill her child in some states right up to her due date if she so chooses. What kind of choice is that? It's one that comes from a carnal mind and a sinful heart. And how depraved does a doctor or a medical profession have to be to day after day, year after year, commit an act of violence that's forced upon an unsuspecting child that is immeasurable and unthinkable? I don't have time to read from Brother McCartney's. I would urge you to read it because he was actually a nurse on a floor where abortions for people were being taken place. And there were times that those babies that were aborted, the abortion failed. He never had any part in the abortion procedure. His job was to help with the women after the procedure, or if a child actually lived through it. And he tells the story of rescuing babies that were alive and running them to the ICU so that their life would be preserved. It's sad when you think how far people will go. And the sad thing is, an overwhelming majority do it because they just don't want to be bothered. Somebody says, well, what are they going to do with their children? What they're supposed to do? Love them. Raise them. Teach them. Train them. If you've got girls, teach them to love their children. Teach them to cherish life. Because we live in a culture of death. It's promoted by the abortion mentality, by video games, by violence. And we're unraveling as a nation because of the culture of death. Now, I'm going to finish this message tonight. I'm going to answer two questions. Why does murder occur? Its causes. And the genesis of all murder is right here. It's found in Cain and Abel. And that this account. And then what is the end of murder? how does God judge murder? I'll finish that up tonight, God willing. I've been saved since 1980. And I've always been pro-life. And I pray that God will help our country. I've got a Presbyterian preacher friend named Dan Gibson who faithfully, wherever he lives, he calls it the abortuary. He goes to Planned Parenthood and he faithfully pleads for life. And God has used him. And I applaud his efforts. We need more people like it. And I want to end today with this. I'm so thankful that my mother loved me, that she didn't abort me, that I'm alive today. I'm so thankful for a wife that loves her children and cherishes them. And I'm thankful for children that love their children. I have been so blessed because of life. Andrea is expecting. I love her. She's a little mean, but I love her. And I'd ask you to pray that God would protect her and the child that's in her womb. Because that's what I believe. She's carrying one of my grandchildren. Right now, it's 3-3. There's 3 boys and 3 girls. She's going to break the tie. Unless she'd have twins, a boy and a girl. But I think they've ruled that out. But I thank God that she chooses life. And I pray that more women would do that. Let's all stand.